This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. North Carolina has a deep and rich music history. In the latest issue of the Oxford American Magazine, there's a celebration of this history and the state's powerhouse musicians from Doc Watson to Rhapsody. The issue features essays on notable players in North Carolina's music scene from writers across the South. Also features a companion CD full of samples of the state's music. Maxwell George is deputy editor of the Oxford American and joins us now from Blue Ridge Public Radio in Asheville. Hello, Maxwell.
Hey, Frank.
Tell us about how this issue came together and why North Carolina.
Yeah, so this is the 20th annual Southern Music Edition of the Oxford American Magazine. So we have a deep legacy of doing these music Southern music themed issues, and for the past 9 years we've gone state to state, homing in on the legacy and history and contemporary scenes of states all across the South. And so this year North Carolina came up. It was a personal one for me. I'm a Charlotte native myself.
And this, no shortage of musical geniuses and talent to come out of here. I mean, just give us the short list. No, give us the long list. Keep going. I'll cut you off. People.
Yeah,
notables.
I mean, it's unreal. Just looking at jazz, you know, you have, of course, Coltrane, Thelonious Monk, Nina Simone, who's on the cover of this issue, Max Roach, Billy Strayhorn, and then the list keeps going. James Taylor is featured here, Doc Watson, Earl Scruggs, so you've got your bluegrass pioneers, and then rap, you know, J. Cole, Ninth Wonder, the great producer, who stayed in North Carolina, is based in Raleigh, and Rhapsody, who's at the forefront.
Yeah. And what's interesting is what you think about what role the region plays. And sometimes, you know, with more country-based roots music, it may seem more obvious. But even artists like John Coltrane, and I think the piece really talks about, the magazine talks about, there's a piece that talks about his roots in High Point actually being influential in, you know, one of his most notable pieces, right?
Yeah, and that piece written by Benjamin Hedin, really digs into Coltrane's spiritual roots and his roots in the church, and how that would later blossom in, of course, the great period of his career in the 60s and with A Love Supreme. So drawing that back all the way to his childhood in North Carolina.
And, of course, what's fascinating about that album is that comes later in his career and brings a lot of things together. And so it almost comes full circle. He had certainly left North Carolina after high school, but here he is now going back to his spiritual roots with a great piece, a great album like A Love Supreme. One of the bands that you learned about in putting together the issue is called the Teen Tones. Tell us about the Teen Tones.
That's right. Well, I have to give a shout out while I have a chance to the music historian and record crate digger, John Kirby, who's based in Winston-Salem and is a huge champion of North Carolina music and really of the sort of overlooked stories and stars. And he's written a piece for this issue about someone from his hometown of Winston-Salem, a guy named Wesley Johnson, who in the early 60s with his buddies in high school had an aspiring soul band they called the Teen Tones. They recorded a 10-song demo in Greensboro nearby, hoping to make it big. And, you know, they didn't end up breaking through. But Wesley went on to have a long, deep, and famous career in Italy.
It's a great story. The lead singer, Wesley Johnson from the Teen Tones, makes it big in Italy. And we wouldn't
Wild.
Have known. It's a very cool story. But I want to hear a little clip of their music, too, because we have some of that with us. So here is something from the Teen Tones. Who says you need three chords when you only have two and they're good ones? I say bang them out. Great song, though. Great. I mean, it is, and it's certainly emblematic of the age. That one is called Oh My Love, the Teen Tones, and they are one of the bands that are featured from Winston-Salem. And my guest is Maxwell George, deputy editor of the Oxford American Magazine, talking about the latest issue, which is all about North Carolina music. It is so wonderful to learn about bands like this and hear their stuff. And, you know, again, it brings you back to the age and a good sense of what was happening here in North Carolina. They also talk about the oldest recording that is at least talked about and that we can hear in this issue is from two women from Jackson County. Tell us about them.
That's right. So this is 1924, which is notable because it's 3 years before the quote-unquote country music big bang in Bristol, 1927, Bristol, Tennessee. So here you have two women from Western North Carolina who go up to New York City in April 1924 and record some sides for Columbia Records. And it ends up being the first female country music that we have recorded to tape. And this came to us from Marshall Wyatt, who owns Old Hat Records in Raleigh, and writes in the issue about the provenance of this song and what became of these women, Samantha Bumgarner and Eva Davis.
Well, let's play it first, and we'll talk more about that. The song is called Big Eyed Rabbit.
Here's my rig, yes, Lord, been jerking up the rig. Getting there, rig, there, getting there now. Yes, Lord, I'm getting there now.
That's Samantha Bumgarner and Eva Davis playing a song called Big Eyed Rabbit from the companion CD of the latest issue of Oxford American Magazine, all about North Carolina. I'm talking to the magazine's deputy editor, Maxwell George. Tell us more about that recording. It's amazing. I mean, it's a record. They went into and a record company sat them down and made that record in the early 1920s. And they're from Jackson County, right?
That's right. Straight to 78 RPM. Oh. You fiddle and five-string banjo. So they would come back to North Carolina, and Samantha Bumgarner would become pretty well known. She was a staple here in Asheville at Bascom Lamar Lunsford's Mountain Dance and Folk Festival. She had a long career and died on Christmas Eve 1960. We don't know what happened to Eva Davis, and that's a question that Marshall Wyatt poses in his liner note in the magazine, and one that, you know, we're putting it out there. If anyone knows, we would love to hear her story.
It's amazing, too, to think about it as early as 1921, 22, when this record would have come out, that there was apparently, I mean, and as you say, this predates the so-called Big Bang in country music. Clearly, there was a market, and there was a market for that kind of music. Otherwise, you don't commit that even to you don't commit that to plastic.
That's right. It was very market-driven, and that was sort of their hit.
Well,
Big Eyed Rabbit.
And that one, that's your favorite track on the CD?
One of them. I mean, it's hard for me to choose. Yeah. You know, they're all beloved to me. We've got 24 songs on the compilation, and then an additional four that come with the digital download of the compilation.
Another
and
favorite.
It's just, you know, it ranges back from there, from 1924 up to the latest recording was made in September of this year, right here at Echo Mountain in Asheville, by Shannon Whitworth. So it's really a range.
Tell us about the band, the Lumbee Band, and the song Streets of Gold that is also contained on this CD.
Yeah, this is really a standout burner of a psychedelic rock track from 1970, an integrated rock band based out of Chapel Hill, led by the Lumbee singer, songwriter, and guitarist Willie French Lowry. And it came to me from a guy named Brandon Greaves, who owns record label Paradise of Bachelors in Chapel Hill, and was a friend of Willie's before he passed in 2012. Can we listen to it? I mean, it sort of speaks for itself.
All right, let's do that. The band is Lumbee, and the song is Streets of Gold.
No. I've been told that the streets are gold. It ain't
That is a little clip from the band Lumbee and a song called Streets of Gold. I'm talking to Maxwell George, deputy editor of the Oxford American Magazine, talking about the latest issue that features North Carolina music. What stands out for you in that record?
I just love that groove. I think the lyrics actually are interesting to listen to in this day and age. And I also love that this was a regional hit in 1970. Lumbee ended up opening for the Allman Brothers, but sort of disappeared from our memory. And for us to be able to put that back out and say, you know, John Coltrane, Nina Simone, James Taylor, that's North Carolina music. And also this, Streets of Gold by Lumbee, is the best of North Carolina music.
And Latinx music is now making the scene. Let's bring in one of the contributors to the latest issue of Oxford American. Lena Maria Ferreira Cabeza Venegas wrote a piece about Latinx music in Charlotte. She's also an author whose latest book is called Don't Come Back. Lena, welcome.
Hi, Frank. How's it going?
It's going well. Tell us about the band you wrote about.
They're called Chocala, and I found them through Samuel K. Bird's book, Sound of Latinidad. I've read it all the way through, and there were so many interesting bands, but I wanted to give the spotlight to somebody that hadn't had one before. So I called Samuel, and I asked him, what is the one band that you wish you had covered that just you didn't have space or you didn't have time or you came too late into it? And there was no hesitation in his voice. He didn't even take a second to think about it. He just said, Chocala. And I'm like, okay, so I need to stalk this band for a while and find out if they're playing anywhere near Richmond, which is where I live.
Yeah, and what did you find out in your stalking adventures about Chocala?
I found out that it's very useful when people use their phones at shows, so you can like actually watch them on YouTube. And I fell in love with it. It was pretty instantaneous, but I didn't want to trust myself too much. I'm like, these are YouTube videos. I'm not 100% sure. So I went and actually saw a whole bunch of different bands. And then the second that I heard them live, it was just a further confirmation. I'm like, okay, this is the band that I really want to write about. It felt strangely like home. I'm Colombian. I've lived in Italy, China, the U.S., Ecuador. And while in the U.S., I've lived in four different states. But this was the sound that just like took me back. And it was so strange to find in the south of the United States.
Here it is. Band is Chocala. The song is Ojos Bobolos, and it is by the Charlotte-based band Chocala, as we said, featured in the latest edition of Oxford American Magazine. I'm talking to Lena Maria Ferreira Cabeza Venegas, who wrote a piece about them. Tell us about it, because you really drilled down, and particularly for an English-speaking audience, there are sort of inherent contradictions in listening to this band, as we love their music, but may not, as Americans, all of us, know precisely what's going on with the lyrics.
Yeah, I mean, it made me really question sort of my notions of what meaning is. I teach at VCU. I teach creative writing. We talk about this all the time. Like, what's the meaning? What's it driving through? What's it trying for? And then, I love Ojos Bobolos so much. Like, that was one of the songs that I heard immediately. I'm like, oh, this is so great. Even as you were playing it just now, I was listening to the lyrics. Like, we keep praying, asking for miracles. In the meantime, the streets keep bleeding. I don't think anybody could have like guessed that that's what the lyrics were saying. They're super dark.
Is the comment? I mean, because the music very much upbeat. No, you would never have guessed that. And as you're listening in Spanish, does it have the same effect on you that it did on me just now when you clued me in?
Isn't that great, though, that it, the effect is not the thing that we aim to measure?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I love about it. In the midst of a moment, I came to, I got the Oxford American reached out to me as soon as I finished with this really complicated project that sort of went around the difficulty of being an immigrant in the United States. And I am I'm in the very privileged immigrant class, and it's still not great. It's still pretty complicated oftentimes. And then I heard these, you know, this band, these kids, like, coming up with this incredible ways of making themselves understood without the words that are so harmful, that can be so difficult to swallow every once in a while, what the thing that you realize other people call you. So Lisa is fascinating. I love her voice, and she writes a lot about depression, and it's I was kind of shocked. You know, the way that she writes about it is not an excuse. It's not an explanation. It's this sort of triumph over it, because it is hers to write about. It is no one else's. And there's a freedom in that, and a freedom in all of their music, and even the way that they write about it, that it just felt like the type of music that we need in this moment, not just my community of immigrants, but everyone who feels misunderstood, which is humans, all humans. All humans need this band, and I hope everybody listens
well,
to it.
You know, you make a great case for the ultimate humanity and the approachability of this music for all of us, and why it just matters to anybody to listen to this music. But I do want to ask you a particular question about how you feel Latinx music fits into the larger picture of North Carolina music.
That's a fantastic question that I am not entirely qualified to answer. I very recently moved to Richmond, and the South is still this wondrous alien landscape to me. I loved being here, every second of it, and I've also loved, especially because I took up this project, being immersed in the music. So I'm just giving caveat that I don't really know what I'm talking about. Now I will tell you what I think, which is, I think when we were talking about how can you identify with Chocolat's music, it's the universal isolation. And what I have noticed from, you know, Max's company, from the Oxford American, and from talking to Max and being with bands for 2 days in Charlotte, was the sort of aimlessness of it, the lack of place, of the place that I am in. Everybody's seeking, in sort of like John Prine sort of way, like the obsession with paradise. And we're looking for that. And we have nostalgia for places that have never been. And that's what, like, forces us, makes us try to build them. So I interviewed Elder Serralde from Orquesta Mayor. And what he said about how he, Latin music fit in, why North Carolina, one of the things that we sort of came to when we were having the conversation was that this is an immigrant nation built by immigrants, and the immigrant nostalgia never really fully went away. So we long for very different places, but the thing that connects us is the continuous longing.
Lina Maria Ferreira Cabeza Venegas, an author and a contributor to the latest edition of the Oxford American Magazine. Her latest book is Don't Come Back. Lina, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Maxwell George, deputy editor of the Oxford American, joined us from Blue Ridge Public Radio in Asheville. Thank you, Maxwell.
Thanks so much, Frank.
And you can find links to the latest edition and all that we were talking about in the Oxford American at our news site, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, some jazz fusion from saxophonist Marcus Anderson. Stay with us.